As we consider John chapter 11, I'd like to begin with verse 1 and remind you of our subject matter this evening, and that is Lazarus. Of course, Easter is not too far gone, and I couldn't help but think of the resurrection again this past week, and I thought, well, besides Jesus Christ, how many have been raised from the dead? This, of course, is a great New Testament example of one raised from the dead through the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we'll begin with verse 1 and just read a few verses and we'll make some comments as we go. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, just a few comments on the first few verses. And first of all, the word or name Lazarus is a Hebrew form of the word Eliezer, which means God is my helper. I thought that was very interesting based on how much help Lazarus received from God, from Jesus Christ himself. Yet at the same time, as we consider our own lives, we realize that we are the recipients of God's help each and every day. We sometimes just forget that. Every breath we take, everything that we do, everything that we've been given has been given to us because God is our help. He is our strength. He's not just our help and fortress and buckler and shield and defender in time of trouble, but he's also our help each and every day. I think that this name certainly is appropriate to one who was so magnificently helped by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think that the history of Lazarus, in a spiritual sense, by way of application, it's the history of all who have passed from death to life and who understand that salvation that Jesus Christ has brought. First of all, we see sickness. Lazarus was sick. Understand that this man, the Bible record says very plainly, was loved by Jesus Christ himself. But yet he was allowed to become sick. Some Christians sometimes struggle with that. Why would I be smitten by sickness or disease when God loves me? We see here, of course, that Lazarus was greatly loved by Jesus Christ. But yet, Christ makes it very clear that all these things are to be done for the glory of God in verse 4. I think as by way of application, as we consider the sickness of our souls, that all of us are sick. All of us, because of sin, need the remedy that only Jesus Christ can bring to that sin-cursed soul, because we are sin-cursed individuals at birth. And of course, we realize that soul sickness, as just as it did with Lazarus, Lazarus actually died. But when we look at it from by way of application, soul sickness brings us to a place of spiritual death. And as Lazarus was, of course, raised from the dead by Jesus Christ, so he raises each and every one who believes in him. So God is glorified, the Bible says in verse 4, in doing a marvelous work. Not only in the life of Lazarus, but in the life of everyone that trusts his Son, Jesus Christ. I think that the Holy Spirit, of course, has to convince us of sin and righteousness and judgment before there is a newness of life. Now, look at verse 6. when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, and of course, the first he refers to Jesus Christ, had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, Jesus abode, or stayed, 2 days still in the same place where he was. Consider being Mary or Martha here now in this predicament. They have sent a messenger. Lord, the man whom that you love, you know, the one who's very close to you, the family love there, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they had a special relationship with Jesus Christ as is expressed in the scriptures. We've asked for your help. Yet Jesus waited 2 days. Consider this again in your own lives. As we call out to the Lord in prayer sometimes, and we wonder, why are the heavens silent? Why do the heavens seem as brass? You know, why does it seem like sometimes our prayers are not being answered, or at least from our perspective, not being answered in a timely way? And of course, we all understand that sometimes perception becomes reality sometimes. And we perceive things that God's not hearing us. God's not listening. Why would you say that? We ask ourselves. Well, because I don't have the answer yet. But the answer, no doubt, is on its way. If Mary and Martha had struggled with that, we could see that being humanly understandable. We know Jesus Christ spoke at times, right? He just had to speak and people were healed. Why did he tarry 2 days? And why did he not just speak and have Lazarus healed at his word? But again, we go back to verse 4. The sickness is not unto death. Now, that would be a hard thing for the messenger to bring back to Mary and Martha. And by the time he brought the report back, Lazarus was dead. Would that not shake the faith of the one that would believe in Jesus Christ? I have asked a specific request of God, yet I did not get it. My prayer request was denied. But again, it goes back to God does things in his own way so that his glory can be revealed. The sickness was not, of course, unto eternal death or separation from God, but unto physical death. And I think that made Lazarus a fit candidate for the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. Think about this. When the Spirit convinces the one who is a non-believer of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, basically, he's passing the sentence of death upon the sinner. And the person then, of course, when that person, he or she, is ready to realize who he or she is before a holy and a righteous God, they realize it's a death sentence. I understand that personally. I remember when I came to the Lord myself. I was working in the health science complex in the emergency room. And I was so consumed with that thought that I was guilty and I was to be punished. Jesus Christ, of course, though, is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And as I mentioned that, I'd like you to jump over to verse 44. We see that Lazarus goes from sickness to death to life. Again, as we consider the idea by way of application, soul sickness. Do you realize the sickness of sin, of course, brings death, right? The Bible says when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth death. Sin brings forth death. That's a judgment upon all men. But the power of Christ can be made known because Jesus Christ, through his resurrection, conquered sin and death and hell. Look at verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. There are some times in the Bible I think, interesting. There are some times in the Bible say, wow, I wish I was there. History is interesting. The miraculous is, can you imagine being in that situation? I thought about, Christ had healed other people too, right? Christ healed, the crippled man, the lame man, the lepers. Imagine if they had been kind of tagging around, imagine they'd been kind of tagging around with Christ and following him around and seeing what Christ was up to at this point in his earthly ministry. It's like, okay, what's going on now? And of course, if we go through this biblical record here, we see, he says, roll back the stone. There's a protest there by one of the sisters. Lord, I want to be obedient, but Lord, come on, think about this. By now, it's 4 days. He stinks. He's decomposing. But yet, she was obedient. And Jesus Christ, of course, does the miraculous. The life-giving power of Jesus Christ could only be manifested in the case of a truly dead man. If Lazarus was only, sick, I think, go back to verse 4. See, if Lazarus was only sick and Jesus Christ healed him when he was sick, that no doubt that would have brought glory to God. But think of what glory to God had been brought at this moment when the dead comes forth. If Lazarus has been in a swoon, unconscious, in a deep sleep, there would have been no glory to God in this miracle. Remember the disciples, of course, the disciples sometimes we think of as super saints. They had no struggles, they made no mistakes, but you know what? They were flesh and blood like you and I were. And the disciples struggled here. In fact, Jesus had to explain some things to them. You go back to verse 11, Jesus says, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Okay? They're probably looking at it from a medical perspective. Oh, Lord, that's a good idea. He's sleeping. When you're sick, if you have some extra sleep, your body will heal up quicker. You'll get the strength back that you'll need. You'll be revived. Right? What does it say? Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. See, Lazarus really died. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And he says, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. I think there's a suggestion here, an implication, that the disciples' faith was maybe not what it needed to be at this point. Maybe it was waning, or maybe it just needed to be strengthened more. Nevertheless, Jesus says, Let us go to him. I thought this was interesting in verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, of course a twin, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. Interesting. Remember, we consider Thomas the doubter. So by nature, say, oh boy, he probably wasn't very brave. He was probably kind of a nervous, skeptical, not too much, not much of a guy to go, rah, rah, I'm right behind you, and supportive. But look at Thomas here. And if we go back back a chapter or so, the Bible talks about in verse 39 of chapter 10, therefore the Jews again, they sought again to take him, or Jesus, but he escaped out of their hand. Thomas knew where Jesus was going. Okay? He's going back to the same town where the chief priests and the Jews, scribes and Pharisees, had attempted to take Jesus and kill him. So Thomas, at this point, very brave, very much on side, very much a real dependable, faithful man known for his fidelity, I would say. We've established the fact that Lazarus was dead. And only, of course, somebody who's dead can be raised by the power of God. Man does not have that ability. And I think, again, by way of spiritual application, right? Those of us, as we've realized that we're truly spiritually dead, in right, you know, we have no righteousness in ourselves. We can be raised to newness of life through the resurrecting power and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. To me, that's a great blessing. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, just to take a moment or two here. Don't have much time, but Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. Well, really, we're alive, but we're dead to sin. And the Bible says, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The idea there about hid is the idea of that there's great security and satisfaction with God. And that is what we gain. Mrs. Matthews mentioned that in her prayer request and testimony praise. That's the liberty that we gain in Jesus Christ. That's the liberty, you know, the freedom from death that Lazarus experienced on a physical level as well as a spiritual level. I quote a commentator that I read this week. Christians still bound by the grave clothes of the world cannot work because their hands are bound. They cannot walk because their feet are bound. They cannot witness because their mouths are bound. Now consider that statement. I thought it was a good statement. See what Jesus said again in verse 44? As Lazarus came out bound hand and foot, right, and a napkin around his face, Jesus says, loose him and let him go. So set him free from all these things. Sometimes there are people in church that wonder, you know, what about that person? They claim to be saved. What about that person? What are they doing? I don't know. What do you think about that person? I would say this commentator makes a very good point there. If a Christian is still bound by the grave clothes of this world, how can you work when your hands are bound? How can you do God's work when you're so caught up in the things of this world? How can you walk with God when your feet are bound? When your feet are spiritually bound, when you're so closely tied to this world and you love the things of this world so much. How can you walk with God? I don't think you can. How can you work for God? I don't think you can when your hands are spiritually bound. How can you witness for God when there's a napkin over your mouth? Well, I think there are Christians that unfortunately are in that position. Jesus, of course, speaks to Lazarus in a loud voice. And that man, of course, who's been liberated from death and the grave, he doesn't want to be entangled with the grave clothes, does he? You know, put it in your own, a modern perspective. If you were kidnapped, right, bound and gagged, and somebody found you and rescued you, wouldn't you want them to, you know, cut what was on your ankles and your wrists and, you know, whatever the thing, the bandana they put in your mouth? wouldn't you like that off and to have freedom again? And that's the freedom we have in Christ, spiritually speaking. But yet, for some reason, some are not, I guess they're not cognizant. They don't realize how wonderful the freedom that we have in Christ is. And they're not too quick to want to let go of all those trappings, and I would call them traps, from the world. And they're still bound up in all the things that this world seeks to allure them with. I think sometimes that relatives of those who are saved by Christ may do much either to bind or to loose that one who's come to the Lord. When you consider Christ's command there in verse 44, you know, loose him and let him go, what a crime that would have been if those people had have refused to obey that. But yet for the Christian who was unwilling to let go of what Satan or the world has given them, I think it's the same thing. It's a terrible crime in God's sight. We also see the point in chapter 12 and verse 2 that Lazarus enjoyed communion with Christ. What a blessed privilege, of course, to be in the company of him who is the resurrection and the life. And look what it says. There they made him a supper. Okay, and then him, of course, is referring to Jesus Christ. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. If there's any doubt that Lazarus really wasn't raised from the dead, of course, that verse proves it without any disputation. Lazarus is alive and well. He's sitting down, he's enjoying a meal. He's enjoying communion with his Lord, with the Savior, with the one who raised him from the dead. Now, I would say this by way of application. To the saved individual, there's no fellowship that can be compared to the fellowship you can have with Jesus Christ. I'm certainly not discounting the fellowship that you can share with brothers and sisters in Christ, but the fellowship and the sweet communion that you can have with Jesus Christ in prayer as you study God's Word, that's a wonderful opportunity that we have to take advantage of. And I hope that you and I are like Lazarus, that we sit at the table with Jesus Christ in fellowship with him continually. We see in chapter 12 and verse 11 another journey here. And that is that Lazarus has a testimony now because he's been raised to newness of life. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You see that? Chapter 12, verse 11. That's a neat verse. Because of Lazarus, many Jews gave up Judaism and they believed on Jesus Christ. The power of Lazarus' testimony lay not so much in what he was able to say verbally, but as in what he really was. He was dead. He was now alive. And the fact that he had been raised from death and corruption by the word of Jesus Christ was itself a very convincing witness to many people in this community of the divinity and the messiahship of Jesus Christ. And I think the greater work of grace that's wrought in us by God's mighty power, the greater the force of our testimony is. Someone said your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. So as people see the grace of Jesus Christ's evidence in our lives, that can be a great witness and testimony. And of course, the influence of Christ's risen life in us should be that we seek to lead others to believe on Jesus, just as Lazarus was that testimony. Lastly, we see suffering on the part of Lazarus in chapter 12 and verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. You see, because of the converting power of this new life in Lazarus, the chief priests decided, you know, they got together, they planned and formulated a plan so that they could put him to death. Okay? If Jesus was public enemy number one to the chief priests, well, Lazarus maybe was number two. Understand this by way of application for you and I. Lazarus's old life brought no persecution. But now, he has the same happiness that all those who are reproached for the name of Christ enjoy. And I take you to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. And I know our time is slipping by here quickly. But, verse 14, if ye be reproached, or if you're criticized, if you're rebuked for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. And that should be your job and mine, to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's beyond the enemy, the power, and the enemy's power, Satan's, to kill and destroy the resurrection life. Satan had no power over Jesus Christ. He tried. He has no power to destroy or take from you the eternal life that Jesus Christ has given us, because our life is hid with Christ in God. And remember, as we close this evening, I remind you of this verse in verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. As we close tonight, I remind you by Jesus Christ's teaching, by his miracles that he displayed, by his own resurrection, Jesus Christ taught the resurrection of the human body. He made that abundantly clear in the scriptures, as we see, that evidenced, not just in Lazarus, but this is who we study this evening, but also there are other cases in the New Testament of this. Jesus Christ also, in this passage, has declared that death is real, but also that there's life after death. One day you and I will be raised by the power of God, if, of course, we're not present, or, you know, we're not alive here on this earth when Christ returns. And a wonderful thing, of course, again, as we pull our minds back a little bit to Easter, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And when we know him, we need not fear death. There's been a great amount of prayer given to many who are very sick and are struggling with cancer. And all those, of course, you know, old age and other things as well, even in our congregation. But you know what? All of us, if we're not blessed enough for the Lord to return while we're still walking and breathing on this, you know, God's earth right now, when we all face the last enemy, death, well, what do we need? We need a Savior. We need one who can resurrect us. And you know what? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then without a doubt, the work has been done. Do you want the Savior? Of course you want the Savior. Those who call upon him, he answers. And of course, to me, that is the greatest blessing that any of us can experience. That salvation that's full, that salvation that's freely been freely given. And we look forward to better days ahead. As good as God has been good to us, you know, no doubt, on this earth, there's better days ahead as we spend time with God in his glorious paradise. Let's pray. Lord, bless us now as we close. We ask for your hand of protection and mercy upon us as we travel home. And Lord, throughout this week, Lord, we pray that you would give us the wisdom to live as lights for you in this world. Lord, give us a heart for you. Help us to be that testimony and light to those around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.